And that love is the agape love, the chesed love, the love that is all about what he can give, selflessness. It's his desire to bless, his desire to help, his desire to do every good thing, right? That's what he wants. That's what thrills him, is when his goodness is able to flow into you and through you. If you want to know what pleases the Father, it's when you receive and let flow through you him, right? His goodness, his anointing, his compassion, his love, his blessing, his desires, everything that he is, he wants through us. We sing that song, there's power in the name of Jesus. That power is actually in you because you are in Jesus. So when you speak, that power is resident, is active, is operating, is working because we are in Jesus. People sort of, maybe you've sung that song in the past and you thought, well, you know, there is power, well, Jesus' name. No, it's not the name, it's the anointing of God. It's the you, your voice activating that power. The name is the representative of the power. It's the container, if you want to look at it that way. But you are in that name. And so what he gave me to share today, let's start in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And the title that I gave it is Jesus is the Gift. Initially, I had Jesus as the gift giver, which also applies. But I shortened it to he is the gift, because when you have the gift, you have the giver as well. The gift in us that gives. Okay, Romans 8, verse 32. Fairly well-known verse. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, that's because of his love, because of his desire, because of his goodness. He couldn't bear to see this world suffering under the curse. It's not his plan. He doesn't have anything to do with it. He doesn't want it to stay. His compassion is to deliver every single person from being subject to the curse. That's what he wants. And so he sent Jesus. And if he sent Jesus to deliver us, to set us free from all of that, the rest of the statement here is, shall he not also freely give us all things? Freely give. He's not withholding. See, God's not the withholder. He's not sitting up there saying, well, until you behave right, I'm not going to bless you. He's sitting there with it oozing out of him saying, I'm ready. I'm blessing. It's right here. I'm doing it. Our choice is whether we get into the flow of it or whether we stay in our own way of doing things, in our self-effort, in our performance, in our trying to please him, in our begging, in our whatever it is, trying to do it, rather than resting and going with the flow of the Spirit, led by Holy Spirit. So here, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, gave his life for us, shall he not also freely give us all things? And so what the Lord put on my heart this morning was to share some of the things that he has freely given. Because you know he hasn't got anything to do with the bad. So you wipe that out. That's not part of this freely given, okay? That's the curse. That's Satan's work. That's the result of sin that came into the earth. It's got nothing to do with God. But God freely gives the antidote to all of the curse. Freely gives the overcoming of all of the curse. Freely gives the victory over the curse. Freely gives you everything that pertains to life and godliness. That's what he wants. And so as I was meditating on this, and the Lord put in my heart to talk about the gift, and I believe it's for this year, because the anointing of God, the explosive blessing that he wants, is the manifestation of the gifts. Okay? You can expect to see it as a part of your daily life. Why? Because of the power and the anointing that has been placed on us, we expect those manifestations of God's goodness to flow through us. If God's dripping with goodness and everything he wants is the blessing of man, the help for man, the deliverance for man, the anointing on man, the fellowship with him, that's the heart of God. That's what comes through us. That's what we want to see others blessed with. What we get to enjoy ourselves. So let's go to Romans 5 and start there. Got a number of scriptures to take you through. See if we can get it through in an hour. Romans 5 verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. That's where you see the verse, one verse talking about Jesus being the gift. And what is the gift in Jesus? It is the grace of God, right? For by grace are you saved. Jesus is the personification of grace. What is grace? God's divine favor, God's divine blessing, God's divine desire, all of his goodness flowing is his grace, which is Jesus, which is you. Ooh. Right? Because we are in him. We expect everything he is to manifest through us. So here it says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now, I was meditating on that because I wasn't sure why that word not is there. So not as the gift. Sorry, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. And I was wondering, why did Paul put in why not as the offense? And we'll see it as we get further into it, but what it's saying is it took one man to offend, right? And that offense resulted in the curse on everybody. So not as that, so is the gift. Now the gift was by one man, is in one man, but it doesn't automatically apply to everybody, okay? So the curse, everyone received the result of it. The blessing, the anointing of God has to be received. It's not an automatic thing, okay? We have to receive it. How do we receive it? By asking and then giving thanks. Once you've asked, you've got. So you have it, it's there, it's available. Now you just give thanks and start listening to Holy Spirit and it will manifest through you, right? I used to wonder, how on earth am I going to operate in all those gifts? I need that anointing that shakes me in the boots and then I'll be able to prophesy. No. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you will prophesy. It just comes out of you as we walk with him. Those gifts manifest. All right, so back to the verse. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. In other words, you have to receive it. It's provided freely, but it's not automatic. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. There you go. Through that man, many died. Right? That's what it means. All mankind came under the curse. However, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Okay, so the curse came in and the curse operates. But it's nowhere near as powerful as the gift of grace. Right? It takes a progression of time often for sickness and disease to operate in people's lives. It takes a progression of time for people to end up talking themselves into the grave. It takes a progression. It's an insidious thing. It's not all-powerful. The gift of grace is the opposite. In Jesus, the gift of grace brings the power of God, bang, 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 way superior to the curse. And of course, you've been redeemed from the curse, made the righteousness of God, so that power has eradicated everything of the curse in your life. And if there's some of the curse that looks like it's still operating, that slow whatever, say, no, the power of God delivers you from that. It has reversed that. It has changed your lifestyle, set you free. Okay? The gift of grace, which is by Jesus Christ, much more has abounded unto many, to everyone who wants it. It's available. Okay? The only problem is the church has been lied to about how to get it. That's the sad part. Most Christians think they get it by behaving right, by doing all the right things, by going to church, by... They have been lied to. They think it's their performance that gets it. Well, actually, it's the other way around. It's your performance that stops it. It's you trying to do what's right. It's you trying to live up to it that stops it. No, all you have to do is believe the goodness of God and receive what he is providing. Walk in that anointing and enjoy it. Okay, verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. In other words, everyone came under condemnation because of Adam's sin. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. In other words, it is so vast that it deals with everything, makes you righteous. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. How? By the gift, by one Jesus Christ. By the gift of God, who was given to us to redeem us, to sanctify us, to make us holy, to anoint us, to empower us, to lead us, to do everything for us. That is him. And so how do we do it? By receiving the abundance of grace. What is the abundance of grace? The oozing, anointing, power, blessing, favor of God in Jesus. Jesus is the personification of grace. So you receive him. Obviously, you received him the day you got born again. Now you receive him every day as your Lord, as your master, as your guide, as your friend, as your everything. That's who Jesus is. We receive that abundance of grace, his power. And you think, you know, when I say your Lord, your master, in the world's way of thinking, in our natural way of thinking, that means I'm a slave, I just got to do what I'm told, da 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 da. Because we don't understand how good that master is, right? Because a good master is a servant of all. That's who Jesus is. He's there to bless you, to make life enjoyable, to provide for you, to heal you, to do everything. That's the master's desire. And all we have to do is say, yes, Lord, do it. Thank you, I receive. That's why we worship and praise him, because of who he is and what he's done for us. So receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, knowing what Jesus has done, made you righteous, delivered you from the curse. That's how you reign in life. That's how you live in that continual place of peace and joy and every good thing God's got is in Jesus. Therefore, as by the offense of one, verse 18, judgment came, as by that offense, condemnation came upon all men. Even so, by the accomplished righteousness of one, the free gift, his righteousness, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's you. That's me. Because of his righteousness. So Jesus is the gift. He is God's supply. He is God's grace. And you have to receive that abundance of grace and the righteousness that comes with it, that you have been made in order to reign in this life. And reigning in this life requires supernatural abilities, supernatural gifts. Why? Because there is a real world out there, the spirit world, that is trying to control and manipulate this natural world. The good news is you have dominion in this natural world, which includes stopping all that real world stuff from destroying this natural world. Your life, your family's lives, the friends' lives, the folk around you, our nation, every area of life we have been given dominion over, right? And that's the gift of grace, God's goodness that he wants manifest is through that. So let's start looking at some of the gifts. John chapter 16, another passage we go to fairly regularly. John 16 verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. So there's the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Comforter, which is the one that brings the fullness of the anointing of Jesus. Of course, you can't separate them. They are three beings, yet they are one. And so, but the Holy Spirit is the person who dwells in each one of us. And Jesus goes on, and I've talked about this a number of times, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The three things, three jobs he has. Okay, verse 9, of this sin that they believe not on me. So that's his job for the non-Christian, to convince them that they need to believe on Jesus. Of your righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. His job to the Christian is to convince them they are God's righteousness, to continue to remind them that. And of fulfilled judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. Already fulfilled. He's dealt with. And we get to enforce that victory. All right, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. So the Holy Spirit's job is to guide us into Jesus, to reveal to us everything about Jesus, what Jesus has done, how he operates, how his goodness is. And everything Jesus has is from the Father. Okay? So he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Now we're getting revelation every day almost of things to come. What the Holy Spirit is doing in this earth, preparing his people, getting them fired up about dominion in the earth, delivering from the curse, releasing people from bondages, seeing manifestation of his power, people born again, okay? Got to the end of verse 13. Show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So everything the Holy Spirit leads you in is what Jesus is imparting to him, what Jesus is giving to him. He enables that in us. In verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And that word show, I looked up in the Greek, it means announce the details. Isn't that cool? Announce the details. He will take all things the Father hath are mine. And this comes back to the goodness of God. Every good thing God has, his desire, he just drips goodness, his love, his motivation to bless, his desire for your life to be the way he designed it before the foundation of the world. That's what Jesus says. All of that is mine. And the Holy Spirit is going to take of mine that and give it to you. That's why Romans 8 said, why would God withhold any good thing? It's all been made available. It's all there. The Holy Spirit is the enabler, the bringer, the provider, the motivator, the deliverer of all that to us. That's why being filled with the Holy Spirit is key to walking in the anointing of God. Okay? And all things the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine and shall announce the details unto you. What detail do you need from the Father? Healing of that sore knee? Deliverance from depression? Healing of your family? What detail? He gets right down into the details. He shows you how to pray, mostly in tongues. He shows you how to declare the victory. He shows you how to defeat the enemy, how to destroy what Satan's trying to do. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, is to reveal those details to us. Okay? So expect to receive it. Expect to hear his voice. Expect to hear God prompting. You know, there's typically three thoughts that go through your mind. Your thoughts, the Holy Spirit's thoughts, and the devil's. Right? Reject yours and the devil's. Listen to Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at some of the gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit. Again, coming back to who is the one that takes from the Father and gives to us, or takes from Jesus and gives to us, is the Holy Spirit. So here we have seven gifts, what are called the gifts of the Spirit. Actually, there's nine. Nine gifts of the Spirit, okay, that we go through here. And they are all provided by the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for what? To profit. What does profit mean? To increase, to get benefit from, to enjoy, okay, all profit. So the gifts of the Spirit, and these are the manifestation gifts, in other words, the power gifts that demonstrate the anointing of God flowing through you. Gifts of the Spirit. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. Wisdom is the primary thing, and all you're getting, get wisdom. Well, the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. He gives you the right things to say in circumstances when people are critical or struggling or have health issues or whatever. Listen to Holy Spirit's wisdom. Impart that word of wisdom. Right? The word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That's knowing something about a circumstance or a person or a demonic force that's influencing someone. Knowing it by a revelation of the Spirit. Not something you can naturally determine. It's the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Okay, that's the word of knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. That's where you've seen Jesus, you know how powerful Jesus is, you know the fullness of God's anointing and supply behind what Jesus is giving, and faith rises up in you and you speak to that condition, you speak to that whatever, and you command it to obey. The gift of faith, knowing it's already done. So to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Delivering people from the influence and the effects of the curse. That's what healing is. Okay? Delivering people from the effects of the curse, the bondage, the results, whatever it is. Bringing healing. And that can be mental, physical, emotional, everything in the soul, mind, will, and emotions. All of that healing. All of the physical. All right, you've already been healed in your spirit, by the way. But you can also bring healing to the spirit of others by leading them to Jesus. Okay? Having them transformed out of the kingdom of darkness. A new spirit placed within them. Okay? So, by gifts of healing, by the same spirit, verse 10, to another the working of miracles. What's a miracle? A miracle is something that defies time and space. Healing can be classed as miracle. But there's a lot more to miracles than just healing your physical body. Walking on water, supplying, feeding the 5,000, however you look at it, those are miracles. Stopping the storm, preventing destruction, stopping accidents. I'm reminded of a miracle that happened. I remember this as a teenager. I was probably 19, I think. And this lady was telling us in church one day about the protection of the Lord. She was driving down a three-lane highway. And it went over an overpass, over a road going underneath. And as she came to it, a trailer in front or something in front spun out, took out all the cars in front of it. And basically, all three lanes, just a huge pileup of cars coming. She was coming in and didn't have time to do anything. And she just closed her eyes and says, "Lord Jesus." And nothing happened. So she opened one eye. And her car, you know, those concrete barriers we have down the middle of the highways, her car was up on two wheels driving along that concrete barrier. And her hands were off the steering wheel. She was going, "Jesus, thank you, Jesus." Past the accident, her car dropped back onto the road and she took the steering wheel again and carried on. Okay, that's a miracle, all right? That's your angels looking after you. Okay, so there's an example, gifts of miracles. To another, the gift of miracles, okay? The working of miracles. To another, prophecy, declaring what the Holy Spirit puts in your heart, speaking things that you don't know with your natural mind. And interesting, prophetic preaching is sharing revelation from the Scripture. And there is a lot of that. The Holy Spirit brings prophecy through preaching. To another, discerning of spirits, knowing how to deal with the enemy. And to another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. That's speaking the word of God in an unknown language and then interpreting what's been said. Okay, so there's the nine gifts of the Spirit that are called the diversity of the gifts. Do you have to operate in them all? No. Can you operate in them all? Yes. That's the good news. It's as the Spirit leads. Isn't that what it says? They're provided by the Spirit. And it's not something you conjure up. It's not something you work out and practice. No, this is an anointing of God that will come on you when and where you need it as you listen to Holy Spirit. I've heard a lot of teaching on, well, this is how you grow in the gift. No, growing in the gift is getting rid of the fear of self, the fear of messing up, the fear of doing something that's outside your comfort zone. That's what you have to deal with, because we all face that fear of man, stage fright, whatever you want to call it. That's a normal part of the old human nature. Well, the good news is that's been dealt with. You don't have to suffer that anymore. You just say, "Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your anointing and your peace." Let it out. Say what the Holy Spirit puts in you. Okay, drop down to verse 28. So there's the nine gifts of the Spirit, as we know them, or as the Scripture reveals here. And then down in verse 28, there's another set of gifts here, and these are called ministry gifts. Ministry meaning serving, right? This is not lording over, as the world tries to do it. This is serving each other. It says, "And God hath set in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues." Okay, so there's seven different kinds of ministries that can happen in the church. No ones, and as I've said before, the ones that have that anointing should be the ones that serve the body. They're not the put up on a pedestal, "Look at him, he's an apostle. Whippy." According to Paul, the apostle should be the lowest, the one who serves the others, right? Not lorded up and put on a pedestal. The gifts given to the church, and there's the five, what they call the five ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. So there's what they call the five ministry gifts. Well, here it expands it a bit more, and it says you've also got miracles, healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. There's a lot of gifts. And this is all after the passage where Paul says, can the eye say to the ear, I have no need of thee? We all have different gifts and different roles within the ministry in the church. You don't exalt one above another or put people on a pedestal. No, we all serve one another. It's about ministering the love of God to a needy world and to hurting people, right? That's God's plan. So he's given these gifts. Now, not everyone operates in these ministry gifts, okay? But those that do are the servants of all. They're the ones that are motivated by the Holy Spirit to help and deliver and minister life to the rest of the body, okay? So that the rest of the body can do their job of destroying, overcoming, and defeating the curse that's operating in this earth, right? They get to do it too, but as you heal and help everybody, so everybody gets out there to do the job of loosing, dissolving, and destroying the work of the devil. That's what we want to do. All right. So that's 7 and 9. Now let's go and look at the 7 motivational gifts. Romans chapter 12. There's a lot of gifts in the Bible. And when it says that God is not the withholder, he gives all things freely, he wants you operating in the gifts. He wants you moving under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Romans 12, verse 6. And when I say motivational gifts, this one here is interesting in the study. It's the kind of thing that psychologists love, and it's a useful thing to understand, but don't base your whole way of doing things on this. This is just to understand how people function so that you can rightly put people in the place God enables them to function best. That's what God's after. He wants the body operating in the gifts in the way that manifests his goodness, so that someone who loves doing a certain thing is the one who should be doing it, right? I love teaching, so I get up and teach. Other people love serving. Other people love giving. Other people love ministry. Other people love helping. There's different motivational gifts. So the motivational gifts that are listed here, the 7 of them, is interesting because as I go through them, you'll understand you can probably relate to the way certain people behave. And I'll give you an illustration of how this works in the motivation of people. And it's helpful to know when you're ministering to or counseling or just having fun with a friend what their motivational gift is. Have you heard of the love languages, the 5 love languages? Most Christians have now, or the different ways people love, whether it's, you know, or receive love, how they feel loved. For some, it's quality time, you know, just spending time with them. For others, it's acts of service. For some, it's words of encouragement or written notes. Others, it's... So there's 5 different love languages that have been isolated as the way people, or identified as the way people operate. Well, these motivational gifts are along the same line, but it's a gifting that's naturally in a person. When God created you, he gave you one of these gifts or a combination of these gifts. And that's what really motivates you, that's what really fulfills you, what gets you excited, okay? And so here we see it in Romans 12, starting verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, in other words, what Jesus has placed in us by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, these motivational gifts are there, okay? The first one, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So the first one is a motivational gift of prophecy, okay? The prophet is the person who says what's going to happen or predicts the future or talks about, explains, reveals what's happening, okay? Prophet. Second one, or ministry. Let us wait on our ministering servanthood. Let us wait on our serving. Or he that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, and that one there is he that's an organizer, he that can figure out how to make things work properly. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Okay? So I give you an illustration that we heard about this many years ago that I really like. Is mom comes out of the kitchen carrying the birthday cake, right? And as she comes to the table, the birthday cake slips off the tray and lands on the floor. Bang. You'll get 7 different reactions from the 7 different people that are here. Okay? The prophet will say, well, that's what happens when you don't watch the cake. It's prophesying, okay? The server will say, let me clean that up for you. The giver will say, that's okay, I'll go buy another one. You see? The teacher will say, well, next time you need to make sure you focus on keeping the tray level. And the mercy say, oh, you poor thing, you must feel so bad for dropping that cake. It's all right, don't feel bad about it. You see what? There is a practical effect. Now, you can think of people in your life that you know, yep, that's exactly the way so-and-so would behave over that. That's how I would behave. Right? So, there's 7 motivational gifts. Helps you identify why people are different. Sometimes you... And that is definitely part of one of the gifts. Actually, most of the gifts would laugh, I think. That's why they have that fail army thing with all the different things that happen and people just roar with laughter. But the mercy feels sorry for the person. The exhorter wants to encourage them, don't worry about it, you know, there's another, we can get another cake. The giver says, I'll buy the cake, right? So, but those are, and it's a neat way of seeing why people react different ways to things, knowing that, well, that's just the way they're motivated. And so someone who's a mercy will often get upset, can get upset, when the prophet starts saying, this is what you need to do, this is what, you know, right? And the mercy, you shouldn't be saying that, you're upsetting her. That's why what Paul puts in here, he says, if you're a mercy, with cheerfulness. Don't let it get to you. Don't get upset over it. Don't start getting angry. No. With cheerfulness, show mercy, show encouragement. All right? The prophet says here, with a prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Right? Faith is seeing what doesn't exist. So the prophet should be there not condemning the person, but saying, well, you know, you have the opportunity in the future. This is how you should do it. We know you want to minister. Prophesy over how to do it right. We should be encouraging and edifying one another, right? He that teacheth on teaching, imparting the truth, rightly dividing the word. Anyway, that's an illustration. It might help you understand why people behave the way they do, which is beneficial in relationships. You can probably identify who you are from that. You know, well, yeah, I'm one of those, right? And so it helps us relate to one another, to minister to one another, and to know that non-Christians also have these gifts in them. And often, or family especially, often they'll get upset and you can see why. And it lets you start receiving wisdom from the Holy Spirit about how to deal with that person, how to minister life to them, how to get them to understand that, yep, that's not a fault as such. It's the nature you're born with, because these motivational gifts, there's good and bad to both, right? Satan wants the bad to be magnified. The curse operates on the bad. It wants people looking at the bad, okay? We have the opportunity to minister the good, to bring out the good, to encourage the good in your own life as well, to let the good come out, all right? Okay, so there's another set of gifts that the scripture talks about. I'm not going to get into all of that, other than what we've shared. I'm not going to go into any further. Okay, so they don't call them gifts, but we're going to go and look at Galatians chapter 5. They're not called gifts, but they are, to me, they are gifts in inverted commas. And it's actually called the fruit of the Spirit. Why is it a gift? Because it comes from Jesus. And he is the gift. You think about the tree or the vine. Okay, we are the branches. How does the vine produce fruit? It receives sap from the vine. Okay, it receives its nourishment from Jesus. And so the fruit that we have here, they are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us, of the gifts of the Father given to us. And Paul says, right in there, when we were in 1 Corinthians 12, he lists the gifts. Then verse 13, he says, but I show you a better way. It all has to be done in love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't live in love, it's a wasted gift. And so the fruit of the Spirit is an important part of our daily lives. It's what God wants manifest through us. It's what He manifests. Everything that comes out of Him falls into these fruit of the Spirit, right? Because God is Spirit. And so the fruits of the Spirit are what He manifests. It's what He drips with. And that's the way you are, because you are in Him. So if you see something that doesn't line up with this fruit, you say, "Thank you, Father, that's not me. I receive the real fruit. That's what I manifest." Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit, this is Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that is God. That is Him in you. How do you love? You've got to receive His love. Because there's certain people, certain things you just can't love of yourself. You need the love of God. But that's what manifests in us as we let the Holy Spirit move through us, as we listen to Him, as we're expecting the ministry and the motivational and the manifestation gifts to show what's typically called the gifts of the Spirit, gifts of miracles, healing, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, those things. As they show, the fruit needs to be there as well. Because you can work in the word of knowledge and use that to destroy people. You probably won't have the word of knowledge for very long if you do. Okay, the Holy Spirit will stop talking to you. But God's design is for the word of knowledge to be motivated and operated through the fruit. The person you give the word of knowledge to has to know that it's God's love behind that word. That's why you gave it. Especially if it's a word of correction, where the Holy Spirit says, "I know you're doing this. Stop it." Choose to do what's right, not what your physical self, whatever it is you want to do. Choose to do what the Holy Spirit wants. Okay? That's how simple it can often be. Just be led by Holy Spirit and say what Holy Spirit says. Okay? So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy of the Lord is your strength. We live in joy. That should be what comes out of us. Even when your bucket gets bumped, joy comes out, right? Peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. Enjoying the goodness of God. Long-suffering, the word for that, patience. Lord, I need patience, and I need it now. That's a joke, by the way. Oh dear. Patience, gentleness, not quickly frustrated or angry, right? Gentleness, goodness, yep, wanting the best for the person, faith, walking in the knowledge of what God's doing, even if you don't see it. Faith is seeing what hasn't manifested yet. Meekness. Now, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is actually strength. Strength under the Holy Spirit's control. Doing what Holy Spirit says. That's called selflessness, should be another word that goes in there for meekness. Not operating in my way of things, but in the Holy Spirit. Temperance. Actually, this is a little different. Temperance is the one that means patience. Long-suffering means self-control. It's a better translation, self-control. And self-control there is one of those, is a fruit that people say, "Well, you need to exercise self-control." Well, guess what? It's a fruit. It's not an act, right? Our decision, the decision we have to make, is to listen to Holy Spirit, not to do what I want. Mm-hmm. That's the decision we make. Mm-hmm. That's the only self-control you have to exercise. Why? Because self-control is a fruit that manifests. When you listen to Holy Spirit, you will exercise self-control. It will become a fruit. It will become a part of your life. Right? It will manifest. The decision is, and it's a decision, it's not an act as such. It's a decision to reject what I want to do and listen to what Holy Spirit's saying. And to put that in, to make it easy for you, the Holy Spirit is always talking to you. He is there prompting you all the time. Now, you might think of it as your way of thinking, but let me give you some simple illustrations. Someone comes up to you and you're chatting, and you get a prompting to pray for them. That's not you. That's Holy Spirit. Or someone comes up and asks for prayer, and you just know, "I can't." That's not you. That's Holy Spirit. He says, "It's pointless praying at this time." You're talking to someone, and something pops into your mind about a particular event or some statement to share with them. That's Holy Spirit. It's not you making it up. Often we think that it's just me. You know, well, that's the way I... Now, it can be. And the discerning is that me or is it Holy Spirit? But the more you expect the Holy Spirit to be talking to you all the time, the more you will recognize those promptings, right? Now, don't get upset if you start sharing and realize, oh, I missed. Don't beat yourself up. Say, thank you, Father, you show me the right way. You're continually teaching me how to operate by the Spirit, right? But do walk in that way. Don't not say anything because I'm not sure if it's the Holy Spirit or me. That stops the Holy Spirit. If you're not sure, go with what you're sensing. If it blows up in your face, so what? God can fix it. At least you're moving. As they say, a boat that's not moving can't be steered, right? So if you keep your mouth shut the whole time, God can never use you. So again, if we mess up, and we will, don't be upset about it. Just say, thank you, Father. It's another lesson I've learned, all right? So long-suffering is self-control. And what that self-control means is when things are coming at you, when people are coming at you, when stuff is messing up whatever, self-control is that characteristic that you don't get upset over it. It does. You don't fly off the handle, you don't get angry, you don't... Might get a little irritated, but that goes pretty quick, all right? Self-control is just resting in the knowledge that our Heavenly Father is the one who works through us. He's the one that resolves those issues. He's the one that fixes things, all right? So, here we got two. Temperance, which is patience. Against such, there is no law. What is the law about? The law is about showing up where you've messed up. There's no law against manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, manifesting the character of God, letting that out of you, which is a gift. It's Jesus in you. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, another set of fruits. All things that you're supposed to manifest. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's start in verse 5. You know, one of my favorite verses is verse 3, but I will read verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. He's already given it all, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. It's God himself, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all that. That's all divine nature. The anointing of God. What's the divine nature? The gifts of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, healings, miracles, all of that is the divine nature. That's God's manifesting himself. And that's what we get to operate in. They are given to us those exceeding great and precious promises that you can be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the curse that is in the world through lust. You've been delivered from it. It doesn't apply to you anymore. You're free from all that curse stuff. And beside this, so with all of that, all of those gifts that God has given, all of that released to you, now he goes in and says, and beside that, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, agape, charity. Okay? So he lists seven fruits of the Spirit. It says, and add to that, in other words, you can expect these to increase over time. That's God's way of doing it, that those things increase in you, that you choose to embrace them. You don't reject it. You don't let the bad stuff overcome the good stuff. You live in the good stuff. And it's not about you having to make it happen. Let's carry on reading verse 8. For these things are in you and abound. All right? I'm putting this in the Greek tense. The translators put it in a future tense because they didn't think this was reality in human life. By faith, this is the reality. For these things are in you and abound. Why? Because you're in Jesus. And all of this stuff is in him. And he has given it by the Spirit to us. It's all ours. We operate in it. Okay? So these things are in you and abound. And they make you, neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they are the ones, they are the things. Those things are what make you fruitful, make you just like Jesus in the earth. That's the best way to put it. You operate the same way Jesus did when he was here. You get to do the same things he did. You go, well, I haven't seen that happen yet. Well, that's called faith. If you haven't seen it happen, faith says, thank you, Jesus, I do it. Right? Don't sit there beating up on yourself. Well, I haven't done any of those things yet. So what? If you follow Holy Spirit, you'll find suddenly you're doing them without you even realizing. It's not like you go out seeking, I need to go and get a word of knowledge. No. Holy Spirit will lead you and you will get those. And you'll suddenly go, wow, that was a word of knowledge. I didn't even know it. That's the way it's supposed to operate. It's him in us. Okay? And then verse 9, which really is the summation of all this. But if any lack these things, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Right? In other words, you're not seeing by faith what God wants done. You're not seeing the way you've been made. You're not seeing who you really are in Jesus. You're blind. You're not seeing it if you lack these things. Why? And it goes on and says, if any man lack these things, he is blind and cannot see afar off because he has forgotten that he was purged of his sin. That's called the gift of righteousness. Knowing that you are accepted in the Beloved, that God has made you just like him, that you have been made his righteousness. Okay? Living in that state, that's what gives you the faith to see afar off that all these things manifest in me, that I get to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit manifests through me. More and more, as we grow in Jesus, as we live every day walking with Holy Spirit, this stuff is going to manifest. And this year, you're going to see it in much greater dimension than you've ever seen it before. And it's going to happen a lot faster. The explosion of God's goodness through us. Okay? All right. Couple more verses. Philippians chapter 2. Here's where you can just relax and enjoy. Philippians 2. This is a good verses to memorize. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, and this is the obedience they're supposed to have, work out your salvation. Okay? Work out. What is the work we are to do? Believe on Jesus. Believe on Jesus for your salvation, for your deliverance from the curse, with, you remember last couple of weeks, it was last week, 2 weeks ago, I shared you what this fear and trembling, the Lord showed me what it means. Like a little child, daddy gets home and the child is so excited, he just can't contain himself. He's bouncing up and down. That's the fear and trembling it's talking about. Reverence and respect and just such an excitement that you can't contain it. Right? Work out that salvation. See in Jesus and get excited about what he is doing in you, about all those gifts manifesting, about the anointing of God flowing through you, seeing miracles, signs and wonders, healings, deliverances, seeing all that stuff happening because you're being led by Holy Spirit. And it causes you to tremble and can't contain myself. Okay? And then the key to it all, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not about how well you behave or how well you do it or how good I am at prophecy or word of knowledge. It's not about that. It's got nothing to do with that. Who is it that does it? God. It is the Holy Spirit who is at work in us, both to give us the desire, and I love that, the will, to give us the desire to minister life, to give us the desire to pray for people and see them healed, to give us the desire to love the hurting, to give us the compassion for people. It's the Holy Spirit in us that will and does. It's his anointing in us. You don't have to conjure it up. You don't have to try and figure out, do I have enough faith to believe for this? No. Just rest in the Holy Spirit. Follow his directing. And he will anoint you to do, I love what it says there, his good pleasure. The more we see how good God is and what his pleasure is in healing, delivering, blessing, providing for, setting people free, the more excited we get about walking with Holy Spirit, knowing that life is fun. Final scripture, Matthew 8. And this is Jesus talking to us. Matthew chapter 8, verse 7. Yep, wrote down the wrong one. Matthew 10. I saw Matthew 10, 8. It's Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8. Matthew 10, verse 7. And this is his commission to the 12 apostles when he sent them out. He He says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's because you're there. Kingdom of heaven, that's what you operate in. That's the whole lifestyle you live, is the kingdom of heaven. We aren't in the kingdom of darkness anymore. We're in the kingdom of his dear son. We live in that kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, I'm here. I love what, who was it? I've forgotten which man of God it was, but he arrived in, I think he touched down on an aeroplane in South Africa for the first time. Yeah, I'm not sure if it was, anyway, this man of God, he arrives there, and he walks down, that's when you had the old stairs that went down from the aeroplane, you didn't have the jetway. He walked down the stairs, planted his feet, Satan, I have arrived! look out, kingdom of the devil. That's the confidence, T.L. Osborne, that's the confidence we can have in Jesus. Satan can't stand you. He's got to run. So expect wherever you go, I have arrived, not me. The kingdom of God has arrived, right? So that's what Jesus is saying here. Say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's really what he was saying. I have arrived. In other words, all of God's power is here, so look out, we're coming to get you, right? Expect that. That's where you get excited. Okay, and then he goes on and says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. That sure sounds like the kingdom of God, loosing, dissolving, and undoing the work of the devil, right? Freely you have received, freely give. That again, it's not about us. It's not about how well I've behaved and all the good things I've done for God and have I been to church and given my tithe and done all that stuff. It's got nothing to do with that. It's you have freely received Jesus, the gift. You have received him and the Holy Spirit that he's imparted to us to operate the way he wants us to operate. And that's what we get to do. So this year, get that expectation way up here. Thank you, Father. Every day we're going to see miracles, signs and wonders. People delivered, people changed, people set free from the bondage of the curse, the bondage of religion, people set free from all that stuff, because that's God's heart. He wants them living the way he designed them to live. Amen. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for the gift that you have given to us, the gift of life, the gift of Jesus, the gift of every good thing, the gift of you, who you are, all of your goodness, and all of your desires for mankind. And we thank you, you've given that to us, and Father, we choose to embrace your leading and directing, to follow you, Holy Spirit, as you lead us every day into ministering life wherever we go. And we're excited about the days ahead and this year and what you're doing in our midst and in this natural world to deliver people from the curse of the enemy, and we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father.